Hi, everyone, and welcome to this month's podcast. It was International Women's Day on the 8th of March, and I am delighted to have with me someone who champions women, someone who is demonstrating to women what they can achieve in their careers, and it is Anne Mariah, the CEO of Deloitte. Anne, I'm delighted to have you here after many months of persuasion and on the recommendation of a lot of other women who stand on your shoulders. So I'm really delighted to meet you and also to get to know you.
Absolutely lovely to meet you.
Okay. So Anne, I've done a lot of research. I read something where you said that you are a numbers girl. On a score of 1 to 10, or let's give it a percentage, what would you give yourself in terms of what you think you've achieved in your career, how you made it? How do you feel today as the CEO of Deloitte?
So while I'm a numbers girl, I didn't like the numbers. So I said, maybe I can give myself an A minus, because I guess there's still stuff to be done, lots to still to do. But I think A minus is pretty good.
A minus is excellent. And even then, I think some people in your shoes would be giving themselves an A plus. But it's okay. We'll accept the humility. Tell me, since I met you, I feel as if you're very content. You know yourself very well. You're well within your own skin. Is that correct? How did you get to that point?
I guess it takes time to get there, to learn more about yourself, to learn how to laugh at yourself when some stuff happens. It's I guess, a work in progress. It's taken a while. And I'm guessing you're going to ask me questions that will get me to to show how it is we got there.
Yes, and we really want to get there, and I want to get there. But let's start from the beginning. So you went to Alliance Girls. You're an Alliance Girls alumni, and very proud of it too, from what I can see online. What was Little Anne like?
Little Anne was a clever girl, which is why I went to Alliance. And the interesting thing about that is you learn that you can get away with a lot of stuff when you have good grades.
Yeah.
So that's how you're sort of sometimes in the naughty corner, but you sort of escape it because you have 90% in maths.
Yeah.
I've always been really good at numbers, at maths. I'll tell you that even in my exams, I did the exam and I knew I had over 90%. So I was good at that.
You're confident once you know that it's right.
Once you know it's right, yeah. Yeah. I mean, literature, on the other hand, I didn't know whether I was on the same page as everyone.
Yeah.
But I was good at certain things like those. I wasn't sporty. I enjoyed lots of clubs. I was in lots of clubs in high school. So I guess I've always been good at making sure I'm in great circles and enjoying the people around me, really. So that was Little Anne. Lots of great support from the family. So I think confidence comes from coming from a place where you know you're completely loved. You're not questioning it at all.
I mean, that's a great background. Mm. What did Little Anne want to be when she grew up?
So the thing is, when you're good at sciences, everyone thinks you're going to be a doctor.
Yeah.
Plus, when you're in Alliance, I kid you not, everyone thinks you're going to be a doctor, an engineer, an architect, some very serious stuff. So that's what I thought I was going to be until I got into fifth form and I hated biology with all my heart and soul. And I knew then, there goes doctor.
Yeah.
So actually, when I went into university, it's because that's what came through, BEd maths chemistry. I was just said, let's go with this. I don't know what I'm going to do with this.
So you had, I mean, it was teaching, correct?
Yes.
So was the aim, I'm going to be a teacher? No.
So what I decided is I'm not going to say yes or no to that until I've done teaching practice.
Okay.
Then I did teaching practice and I enjoyed teaching, but I was afraid to turn into the people I found in the staff room because they were so set in their ways. They were so not willing to change. And as far as I know, someone needed to die before you were promoted. So I was like, I can't stay in this place.
Yeah.
So it's not the teaching I didn't like. It's I couldn't survive in that setup. Yeah.
So there are two things there that I want to tackle. Number one, when you were younger, did you think you could have the impact that you have had now, you know, purposefully or, you know, unintentionally? Or did you think, I'm just going to go roll with the punches? There must have been a change of mindset. And then number two, I want to go to, if you were going to do the mundane, could you, what would have been the survival technique for that?
I've always struggled with mundane.
Yeah.
Like from standard four, when I'd finish before everyone else, I'd start scribbling, I'd start doing other stuff.
Other things, yeah.
So mundane, boring drives me nuts. So I don't know if I'd have ever managed mundane. That's hard for me.
Yeah.
What did I think? I guess when Doctor was off the books, I was like, I need to figure it out. But for one reason or the other, I wasn't actually worried.
Okay.
About making an impact? No. No, I didn't think about it at all. I mean, I'm always so fascinated by those people who, when they were 5 years old, they knew they'd be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever. That wasn't me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But I guess, I mean, for me, for example, like there's a hunger to want to do better.
Yes.
And I think that
yes.
Has always carried me through, no matter what it is.
Yes.
And I can see that radiates with you too.
Yeah.
So when you got to then Deloitte and you were an intern during the summer holidays, correct?
Yes.
So you interned during the summer holidays and you get there. If I was to ask, what was the thing that made you stand out that they wanted you back? What is it?
So, to be honest, I was quite fascinated they wanted me back because I got in not knowing anything about accounting.
Yeah.
And I was getting into audit like nothing. I didn't know whether debit was a good thing or not. Accountants use a lot of acronyms. Half the time I didn't know what they were talking about. I had to keep asking so many questions. But I was intrigued and I was interested. So perhaps it was my ability to ask questions and I guess show continuous improvement even in that short time. Because I also got another assignment outside of audit while I was still an intern. And then Deloitte said, yeah, you can come back as soon as you finish. So I guess I did something right. Never mind. I was like, I don't know what you people are talking about.
Yeah.
So I guess from there on was like, I need to understand this and I need to be good at it. So I always set very high standards for myself. I have to be good at something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If there's an intern out there starting an internship anywhere, you know, in professional services or legal practice, what advice would you give them in order for them to then stand out that you didn't know that you were doing unintentionally, but you got you know, to come back?
So I guess it's, you need to do the work and you need to put in the effort to get better. And when you're an intern, everyone knows you don't know. So take advantage of that and just ask as many questions as possible, because that's how you're going to learn. And if you're not sure that when someone responds, do you mean this or this, just ask it. I guess for me, I was so clueless I had to do that. But I think asking questions is the best thing you can do. So it's learn, learn, learn. Be like a complete sponge and learn.
Absorb. Mm. Okay. So you're at Deloitte, you've interned, you're now fully, you know, in the system, you started in audit. How did you manage to climb the ladder? And because you have been at Deloitte your entire career, you haven't actually gone anywhere else. How did you make sure that you were making the impact that you wanted at every stage? Because the next thing you're going to tell me is that you didn't know that you could reach the CEO heights, or you didn't have an aim of that.
That's true.
Is it the lack of planning that got you somewhere? What is it?
No, like I said, I set very high standards for myself. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's in the first instance, I was like, I need to understand this accounting business. I need to understand accounting and be really, really good at it.
Yeah.
So I did that. And when I started to get better, I'd also ask for the harder assignments because, like, I want to do stuff that challenges me so that then I get to do better. Now, in the middle of trying to get better, I figured out that with my attention span of 2 seconds, I'm not a great student, but I learn better when I teach. So teaching came back into my life and I became a trainer first locally, then Africa-wide, than even Europe, Middle East, Africa. So again, that was a level of impact where I was teaching my seniors. But I had said, I have to get really good at this. So it's all of those. It's if I'm doing a banking audit, I needed to understand how does the bank work. I'll ask people who are not in accounts. I'll go ask them, what do you actually do? So some of it is maintaining a high level of curiosity. But then also, if I'm doing this audit here, and I know this is a thing we do here, I'd look at the financial statements of Barclays Global or whoever global, because I'm like, I'm not confining myself to this. I need to see how do we do better.
Oh, so setting as a standard, standard of excellence.
Excellence.
Yeah, okay. Yes. All right. I mean, that's an excellent clue, because actually we do the same thing in legal. Once we've done a due diligence in one area and captured something that could be applicable somewhere else, match that to make sure that it, okay, excellent. What did you learn about yourself during that growth stage, aside from the fact that you don't like the mundane, aside from the fact that you have a very low attention span, and then you set yourself high standards. What did you learn about yourself? Because it involves people. As much as you're a numbers girl, you're working with people. How did you deal with that?
So it was very interesting because the array of people I had to deal with was quite wide. First of all, it's your clients.
Yeah.
Who are a big array because we go into very many different clients. Then your teams, which change every so often. And then when I got into the training and facilitation, it's my colleagues right across the world with even different cultures. So what did I learn about myself? That I'm very curious and that helps me. Because I ask questions and people actually like to tell you about themselves and their companies and everything. And you learn so much more. And then I treat people as the other human. And because they're the other human, then it's how do I deal with you? Even my teams, I had to figure out this one, you have to beat it out of them. This one is slow, but they'll get good work. This one is real quick, so just keep them engaged.
Engaged, yeah.
So it's also figuring out how do you deal with different people. And I'll say it's selfish so that I don't get upset. I don't get disappointed. So I learned that my curiosity is very useful. And I think it's really, really, really good to deal with the other person as the other human, wherever it is they are. And again, don't be afraid. I have a pretty low level of fear. The levels in audit is you're an audit associate, then an audit senior, then an audit manager, then the partner. When I was the audit senior, some banks would tell me, for this explanation, you have to talk to the MD. I'm like, okay, where is he? They were expecting you to be discouraged. I'm like, but if it's the guy who's going to tell me, then let me go.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing is also very good because people actually want to talk to you because they're a little bit intrigued, like, she's very brave. There's that same time as an audit senior, you were doing some complex consolidation. My manager was away. I called the partner and I said, you need to help me. And I think he came on Saturday because he was like, she must be very brave or something. But he came and he helped me and it was really useful.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Okay. So bravery. There's an element there of like trusting your own instincts. Because even though I might know, I know that, you know, I feel like this person needs to be whipped into shape or this person needs a lot of handholding or whatever. How do you, is it age and experience that teaches you to trust your own instincts?
Yes, but it's also making sure you don't have a very long learning curve. It can't take you 2 years to figure this out because by then you'll be in hell.
Yeah.
So it's every new thing you learn, you put it in real quick. So when you find out if you have a 3-week audit, in the first 3 days, this one's taking. So let me start helping you early.
Okay.
Because then if I don't, we're all going to be in trouble. Yeah. So it's you have to quickly really pivot and do things as you see them.
And so how does this then, all this learning, reflect in your leadership style? Is it very hands-on? Is it very like...
No, I much prefer people do what they're supposed to do, but I like to be informed.
Okay.
I like to be informed, but I like to make sure I've figured out how we're going to work together. Then once there's trust, it's a wrap. Just do it. I'm here to support you.
Yeah.
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 If I have to micromanage you, I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like it. That's not what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you've described yourself as a slightly extroverted introvert. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Because I think when I've seen you to say that, then there's been no explanation of what does that actually mean?
It's that mostly I'm an introvert.
Mm.
That doesn't mean I don't enjoy being social. I'll do it. But when it's been a lot, like last week, I need a day to introvert, to just sit and not have to deal with very many people. So like last week where there was every single day and Women's Day activity,
events, yeah.
Which I enjoyed all of them, but I needed one day later to then just, yeah.
Yeah. And what does that look like then?
It's either a one-on-one. Like have Jerry over for a glass of wine and we just chit-chat.
I mean, I would love that. I haven't been invited yet.
Or just sit alone at home and probably read a few things, watch mindless TV. Because at that point, I don't want things that require me to remember the first thing. I won't say which shows, but very brain
left. Would you give us one of the shows?
One. Indian Matchmaker.
Oh my gosh.
It's hilarious.
You're talking about that actually. Yes, recently. It is hilarious, yes.
So it's the ones where like brain left at home. Yeah. I don't need to engage at all. It's for powering down.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be all intellectual.
No. I do that in the office.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So you were elected in 2022 to serve as a CEO and it's a regional role. You know, from this brief conversation, I want to get to know, is it something that you relished and celebrated and enjoyed being elected? Did you say to yourself, I've finally come to, you know, where I want to be, or I've reached some kind of, you know, achievement? What did you think? What did you, you know, you're not giving away a lot that to be honest.
You're not telling I was excited. There's no question about that. But for me, it was also completely profound because I came in as a clueless intern.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, wow, that I could get here. Right. It's not that I sort of sailed through and did nothing and hang about. Yes, I've worked hard for it. But I was really excited to get there without a doubt.
Yeah.
So that's for sure. I celebrated. My friends took me out for dinner. I bought myself a few nice things. I celebrated.
Nice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you celebrate? How do you... Okay. Once... Because we've all had wins and serious wins. And I'm sure this is one of the serious wins of your life. How do you celebrate now that you know, it's not as big, but it could be, you know, minute little celebrations. How do you celebrate yourself?
It depends. Some of it is... I need to see the ocean. Let me go do that. My daughter doesn't really need to be visited, but let me go visit her because it's a good trip.
Yeah.
So some of it is travel.
Yeah.
A nice meal. Lovely jewelry.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. I like that. You know, when I met you, and this is sincere, when I met you, I really thought, I really want to be her friend. What does it take to be Anne's friend? Is it difficult to be a friend of Anne?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Tell me. I don't think so. I think I'm what you see is what you get. So I struggle to pretend. Sometimes you have to arrange your face for a call I was on about half an hour ago.
Yeah.
But I think it's easy. I'm actually quite easy. My daughter keeps asking me, You mean people are actually afraid of you? Are they afraid
of me?
But you just love me.
I don't get that.
Some people are.
Are they?
But it's the title.
Maybe it's the title.
Yeah, the title is scary.
Yeah.
But
definitely not the person.
Not what I've experienced in you. So we have this team of people called the Next Gen Council.
Yeah.
In Deloitte, who are younger people who advise the exco.
Yeah.
Plus there are reverse mentors.
Yeah.
So they're taken from across the continent. So I wanted to see the ones who are in Kenya. So I'm finding this out afterwards that they were so nervous, they were shaking, they did a rehearsal of who's going to ask the first question. And then they said, and then when we came, you were so easy to talk to. So
maybe it is, it's the title. It's bigger than the person. Okay, let's talk about your day-to-day role. Tell me about auditing. I know I'm not a numbers girl, so you'll have to explain it to me like a five-year-old. What is it that you actually do on a daily basis? Is it more administrative in terms of organization responsibilities, or is it actually the work that the professional services firm does, or is it a mixture of the two?
So now I'm not doing any of that. I'm not doing audits and whatever.
Do you miss it?
Not really. I'm a little bit involved, but not really. I guess I've done it for pretty long.
Yeah.
So I don't get involved in that very directly, generally. So when someone asks me what my typical day is, it's a very serious struggle to explain what that is, because they're not typical anymore.
Yeah.
Because it is administrative, so it depends on what's going on at the time. And one phone call at Friday 4 p.m. can ruin your weekend. Another one at 11 can completely change your calendar. But on the whole, my work is to make sure that in the first place we're clear on what strategy is and we're executing. That's really it. And mm-hmm. and it involves different things, making sure I'm talking to all the different team leaders and seeing clients as well, because that's where money comes from.
Yeah.
And that's who we serve. And then also finding time to also talk to people to understand the people issues. Yeah.
Being that it is a professional services and numbers based firm, how do you make sure that you keep the relationship between the clients? How do you build that relationship when, you know, it's solely based on accounts, for example?
It's not on accounts, because we're a professional services firm. We're doing consulting work, we're doing due diligences on mergers and things, we're doing system reviews. So it's a whole lot of thing. And in my role now, what I'm making sure is I'm talking to execs to make sure, are we doing the right thing? Are you happy with us? What else can we do? And also supporting the teams when they need to have the conversations with the board, with the exec and that sort of thing. And also just getting feedback. What do you want us to do? This is what we've been doing. This is what we can do. And that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Plus, we also work with other partners who we call alliance partners, Google, AWS, SAP, maintaining the relationships with those that we work together well. So it's a lot of relationship maintenance, talking to regulators, because we need to be sure of what's coming and how do we work together. So central bank, the CMA, the NSE, so lots of engagement.
Yeah. How do you organize yourself in terms of the jurisdictions then? Because you have an oversight role as well.
Yes. All six countries, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Ethiopia, DRC. Zambia, Malawi.
Okay, not DRC. Yet.
No, DRC. All the French-speaking countries think they're French, so they report into France. That's a whole separate discussion.
Oh, okay. Probably from historical.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So in that case, I will do market visits, but we touch base all the time on all the key things that are happening. I'll make sure I'm visiting every so often, but also working with the leaders there to just make sure stuff is sorted out. If I'm needed, I will go.
Yeah. Are you one of those people who has like a diary filled 3 months in advance, or do you, and I know it can change, or are you very much, let's do this 1 month at a time?
No, there are things that are filled to December. Okay. Certain meetings are in till December. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's 3 months out. It's probably 2 months or so out.
Okay.
But you have to create some flexibility.
How do you do that? Then
you have to figure out. You have to have two prefects taking care of your calendar.
Do you have two prefects?
Well, not two, but two prefects taking care of your calendar.
Yeah.
Because then they know what can be moved, what's your priority, so that that's who you need to see.
Yeah.
If you've been trying to synchronize calendars with a certain exec and they're available, then an internal meeting can move.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But some of the internal meetings are actually quite important. So maybe this one can't move and let's find another time. So you do need to have that kind of flexibility. Mm. Yeah.
You know, I'm talking to the person who is, for example, a new executive, someone who wants to fill your shoes at the end of the day and wants to know, what are the secrets to this organization thing? How do I get to grips with it? Yeah. Because you make it sound very easy. And I know there can be calendar, you know, maneuvers. There can be errors. There can be the meeting is at, you know, this house and it's actually not at this house. So, you know, how do you deal with that on a day-to-day basis? Is it just being patient enough with yourself to know that things can go wrong? Is it experience? What is it? How do you make sure? How do you make sure that these things don't happen?
So generally, we look at the calendar for the next 2 weeks mm-hmm. on a rolling basis, so that then on the whole, you're planning that. And you're being clear, like if I'm coming to see Jerry, I can't have a meeting until 3:59 because it was 4 p.m. So you have to do that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And plan it accordingly. And then life happens. And when life happens, then there are just phone calls going on of you sort this out and that sort of thing. So I think it's at least making sure 2 weeks out you've organized yourself a certain mm-hmm. way.
Can you give me an example of a time where something went disastrously wrong and how you dealt with that?
I'll call it a small example first before I think of a big example. There's this particular CEO where we had been doing, I'll call it phone tag. We were struggling to get meeting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we finally found a slot that worked for both of us. And because we are in the leafy suburbs, I didn't know that Kenyatta Avenue had been dug up. And Google Maps didn't tell me that. So at the time of the meeting, I was still in the car. which was horrific because I knew that slot was there and there was all sorts of other things coming. But he was very gracious because I called my PA to call his PA and says, no, just let her still come. Because I was like, do I turn around?
Okay, good.
But then now I had to wait for him to finish what he had brought forward so that then... we can then talk. And it was great. It was a great conversation. Yeah.
That's better than nothing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The others is when sometimes someone in my team has not done the right thing. And I'm the one who needs to go and say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just, I'm sorry. It shouldn't have happened that way. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Mm.
What has been one of your biggest wins where you thought, I've got this? I know exactly what I'm doing. Can you name the client, first of all, or not?
I will name no clients.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I will name no clients. A few things. There's one particular company where we had tried to get in for a long time. And it was hard. It was really hard. We were not making inroads. Then we got a very small assignment. I'll call it a very small assignment. We jumped in there like you can't even explain because we're like, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
Because
It's an in.
Mm-hmm. We just wanted the in. And I'm really excited about that because the account is flying now.
Oh, good.
It's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing great. So that's a really big win. There's also a particular audit which we had been trying to build up for at least 2 years. So when it came through, that was brilliant. Mm. That was fantastic. So those are the, there's a number, but that those two are,
yeah,
a really good feeling.
Yeah, and I think that happens when you get an opportunity and then that's, you shine honestly, with it,
yes.
Then it can really make a difference.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you enjoy most about this now role, this big, big role?
It's the absolute variety of it.
Uh-huh.
This, sometimes I say, you know how they say never a dull moment? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, I need a dull moment. However, there's never a dull moment, and it's such a wide range of things. It's from talking to SAP and AWS about what they're doing and cloud computing. It's talking to what are you doing about AI. It is systems reviews. It is audits. It is who is acquiring who, and how do we support you. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's the complete wide variety. And also because we operate Africa-wide, it's dealing with my Nigerian colleague, my Ghanaian one, my Zambian one, all of those. So it's the wonderful variety of it all. And that comes back to bite you when you say never a dull moment.
Who have you relied on in terms of mentors or even reverse mentors, you know, to lean on for support? Because we can't do it by ourselves, definitely.
So mentors coming up, there's a few partners I worked with a lot that were brilliant mentors. So Daniel, Donya, Sami, Onyango, I worked with them a hell of a lot. Joe and Guy, those three, a hell of a lot. And they were so different. It was fascinating. So I think like Joe was so shocked about the questions I'd ask him sometimes, but he was like, Anne, but he'd answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but they were great at, number one, every so often tossing me in the deep end, so that then, you figure out you can do this. And that was really cool.
Yeah.
Now, there's a number of wonderful, strong women that are a great circle, who you ask for different things. So it's interesting in Deloitte, where, well, 82% Gen Z and millennials.
That's so a huge,
it's a huge number.
Perspective,
so
yeah.
I'm a very, very, very old person.
But you don't look it, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
So, so it's so lovely to be the youngest person in another group, yeah. Which I am.
Okay.
With a group of ladies we work with in Karura who are pretty, I mean, really good at interesting stuff they've done before.
Yeah.
So they're great mentors as well. I also believe in extracting mentoring. So you don't have to say, please be my mentor. You can go chat them up, ask them questions. Because usually if you say, please be my mentor, I'll say no, because I don't have time. But you can go have a coffee, talk to them, ask them, how would you do this? What do you think? And mm-hmm. and I think I've generally done that in very many different ways over time.
Yeah. I mean, you sound, and from conversations we've had, like a great sounding board. And I wish more women would have the opportunity to meet you anyway. So looking at the future and where professional services are headed, I want to talk a bit about your role as it evolves, yeah? What are you guys looking at in terms of the thinking? And, you know, my thinking is basically accounting and, you know, giving due diligence reports on financial statements and et cetera. But it's much more than that in terms of consulting, you've already mentioned. There's compliance issues, which you've kind of mentioned that you're delving into. How has the role expanded over the time that you have been at Deloitte?
So I guess a long time ago, we were predominantly an audit firm.
Yeah.
And now, both locally and globally, it's changing. We're doing a lot more consulting and advisory services.
Yeah.
So that expands what we do. But also, increasingly, auditors can't do audit without all these other people. You need valuations experts, you need system experts, you need tax experts, and that sort of thing, even for your audit.
Yeah.
So you do need all that level of expertise in the building. But they can't just be doing audit. They need to be doing other things because that's what makes them good at being support for you in your audit. And increasingly, we're also using lots of automation, machine reading, and all of those. We're removing the drudge from what you need to do so that as a professional, you're doing what you're really good at, using your brain, seeing the insights and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So you're already using AI and things, those kind of tools?
Not the really fancy one. We're exploring it now, the latest Gen AI, but we've been using those tools for a while.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I guess they get better over time.
Yes, exactly.
We have started, but I guess we will see where it evolves to. But the element of the human interaction still has to be there.
No, it's critical.
Yeah.
Because in the end, I guess we're seeing the machines might learn to do stuff quicker than us. But for me, it's that they will analyze it better than you, but your experience will bring in the right decision.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And how do you feel as the integration of regional blocks, or at least, you know, coming together, for example, the Africa Trade Agreement, and other regional blocks, SADC, the East African Community, how does that affect the way that you guys do business? Is it all aligned around the same kind of IFRS or whatever it is, and it doesn't affect you, or how do you see it progressing over time?
So increasingly, all our clients are operating like that.
Yeah.
And we're an Africa firm, so it's that I take care of the East Africa region. There's the West Africa CEO and the overall Africa CEO. So increasingly, it makes sense for us to work across Africa because that's how our clients are operating. So the trade agreements just means Africa works better with itself, which it needs to do, because we don't seem to work with each other. And I think we can work really well, brilliantly, if we put the right structures in place.
Yeah. What we're looking at is things like, for example, a lot of clients asking us about labor and moving the labor workforce from one area to another in order to take advantage of, you know, economies of scale that they can get there, or even manufacturing in one area and, you know, having the call center in another so that it's more integrated, but you can take advantage of each of the different resources that are available in the different blocks, and how that will affect us in terms of labor laws or, you know, regulatory standards. And then for you, what that means, for example, for payroll or for, you know, employee services that you already provide, I believe, right?
Yeah. So what we need to do is break down those barriers much more.
Yeah.
Because those barriers are real. We love to move people around, but it's hard, eh?
Yeah. At the moment,
it's so hard.
Difficult because
it's
of
really
local
difficult
laws,
because of all the local laws. Mm. So if we're going to do that trading amongst ourselves, we're going to need to have almost an EU type thing of people can move around properly, because even where, for example, you don't need visas, that's short-term travel only.
Yeah.
If it's actually working, then it's really difficult in some places.
Yeah. And then also bringing in like ESG and compliance, because a lot of clients, when we're doing due diligences now, are asking far more questions on that.
Yes.
And are you guys getting expertise, or maybe you're already the experts, I don't know.
Yes.
Are you getting expertise in that?
Yes, we have a whole team that deals with ESG, right from, for example, your plan to decarbonization to net zero, but also in terms of, from a compliance perspective, how do you comply? We've supported a number of the sustainability reports you've seen. And then when we get there, there's also going to be, and it's going to come because it comes in all jurisdictions, there's the assurance that they have complied with the standards.
Yes.
So we're in both directions in terms of supporting people to get their sustainability reports, but not just the reports, supporting them to make sure they have sufficient data, they're collecting it, they're looking out for certain things to be able to get to that. And also understanding how to influence your whole workforce to make sure they're thinking green themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So as an example, when you join Deloitte, you have to do an e-learning on climate.
Oh, wow.
So that you understand not to use plastic bottles and not to leave chargers hanging on the wall to waste electricity. And very many little things, because every little thing you do makes a difference.
I mean, that is a huge, that is really good. We should adopt that, because I think that gets you thinking differently, even within the organization and then personally in your own home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's a great example.
Yeah.
Okay. So given that and everything that we've talked about, what is your life philosophy now as we sit here today?
Those questions are so hard, but anyway.
They are, but they went to elicit some kind of thinking.
Yeah.
This is some total of its parts, yeah.
So I guess I will still stay with, I have very high standards for myself. I need to keep trying to up the game of what I did the previous year. You can't do that even if you're in the same position. You have to keep doing better. For me, I have to keep doing better. But also, it's not at the expense of everything. It has to be that we're growing holistically. We have a great culture. People like to do their work. Yeah, I mean, it's not always fun, but they like the place they work.
Yeah,
Our clients actually want to keep talking to us.
Yeah.
So it's that, it needs to be holistic. So for me, it's to make sure, I keep saying I'm the chief cheerleader.
Yeah.
Let's help. How do I need to help you do this?
Okay.
And I'm also the one who needs to keep putting the lights on to illuminate where we're going.
Okay.
Right. And then on my, if it's me individually, it's that whatever I do, whatever I touched, it mattered that I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that we know that that is already the case, and I can see it just from having a conversation with you. And I think that's a great life philosophy. Okay. So for all the young people who are watching us, I want to do tips and tricks for working well. Yeah, which you can give us, yeah, in a very straightforward way. Okay, what is your advice for anyone looking to get into audit or to get into Deloitte? Aside from fill in the application form.
Well, you do need to do that to get in. I think it's work hard and just learn. It's a learning organization. People are very willing to teach you. And so first of all, make sure you show learning agility. And that's what we're looking for. Can you learn? Because we literally take any degree.
Okay.
So we have doctors even in the building.
Yeah.
So that's because we're happy to teach you. So I think you just need to make sure you demonstrate learning agility and absorb all the time. But then we're also pretty demanding. So you have to keep doing better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think of work-life balance? Is there such a thing? Can you have it? Can you strive for it?
Work-life integration.
I like that. Yeah. Integration is much
more. Yeah, it's work-life integration because at some point, one will tilt over the other. So I think for me, it is that I enjoy my work and I enjoy my family. And you guys need to just figure out that I love you both.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So none of you needs to feel disadvantaged. So I found different ways of making it work. For example, my kids' stuff was in the calendar like everyone else, but also like there's a time the calendar didn't work. I had to go to an AGM during the parents, teachers thing.
Conferences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I went and asked the teachers, can I see them on a different day? And they said, no one's ever asked that. I said, I don't know why anyone hasn't asked that. I'm asking.
Yeah.
And after a little bit of kicking and screaming, they agreed. So I think part of it is being bold enough with some of these things to make sure you just ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then when you have a lot on your plate, like, you know, it's full blown, how do you balance the two? How do you make sure that everything gets done? What are the difficulties in making sure that it does get done?
first of all, there's something, I went through a transition, we call it a transition lab when you're going into a new role.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting things he said is you control nothing, just be ready for that.
Is it a formal transition lab that you guys have?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, we take clients through it also.
Okay.
When you're going into a new role.
Okay.
As a CEO, you control nothing. You're in charge. It's your neck on the line, but you control nothing. You're having to work through other people.
Yeah.
So sometimes it can be a bit frustrating, but you then have to figure out how to work well with those people so that you get to the output that you're looking for. And once you understand that, then you don't get upset because you actually can't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can motivate. You could threaten. That wouldn't work. But it's to make sure that you work towards making sure it happens.
Yeah.
In the different ways. So once you know that, it's what you will get less frustrated. That's not to say you won't get frustrated, but you will get less frustrated. How do I manage it all? You have to know when you're just tired. Yeah. You also have to know that it's been such a rough day that you'll tell people around you, I'm irritable, just be kind to me today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's been a rough
intense,
day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been intense. Then I like to walk. If I know it's going to be, you know, there's some days in your calendar, you know that meeting is going to be rough.
Yeah.
I'll have walked in the morning so that I have some level of zen. Then sometimes it's just finding the person you can vent to. Sometimes you just need to vent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other tips that you can give us for working well?
I keep saying find out if you're sending something to someone and they're not happy with it, find out what they're not happy with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, you might say, I don't like this report. It's a 5-page report and you come back with a 10-page. And actually what I was telling you is I wanted a 2-page. Yeah, this is too much information. So actually go and get the detail of what is it that you didn't like.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'll be moving in the wrong direction and you'll just get frustrated.
Yeah.
And you say, I worked so hard on my 72 pages and it wasn't appreciated, but that was because I needed 6, right?
Yeah.
And then some of the times it's how you do it, right? If I don't like surprises and you have not kept me informed, that's what I'm going to be upset with. So you need to ask, what were you upset with? And then I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you know how to manage me going forward. So I think working well is figuring out how to work with each other.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, that is a very good tip. And some getting feedback also. I mean, are you good at giving people feedback?
I think so.
in a delicate way, not in that, you know, this is rubbish way. Because I think getting feedback can be very difficult.
Yes. That this is rubbish is... When it is rubbish, I think... I may use a different word, but you will know it is rubbish. I don't like this. I'll say,
It is not up to standard.
I don't like this at all. And this is why I don't like it.
Okay.
But yes, I think I do give feedback. Yeah. And I think it's also selfish, again. Because I want you to be able to do it the right way without 6 iterations.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. I mean, anything to make it more efficient.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anne, I think you've given us sufficient background for us to make up our minds. But I think all I can get from you is a professional woman who has really made it. And you seem to have made it effortlessly. And I think that's the issue. Because I'm like, wait.
We cannot look like our problems.
But well, that's true. And if that is the case, you definitely are not looking like that.
Okay. No, there's some really crazy, absolutely stressful things. But for me, I'm always like, take the lesson from it and keep it moving.
Yeah. And I think resilience is one thing. Because if you can't make it to where you...
No, you can't.
Without being resilient and being able to take the knockbacks and then pushing back at the same time and keep moving forward.
Correct. So I think, but I also don't sit in the sulking, in the upsetness. I don't sit there for long.
Yeah. Is that something that you taught yourself, or is that something that you innately?
I guess it was over time.
Yeah.
And it's especially when I'm upset with someone, I figured that it's me who's suffering and that person's okay, hanging about, walking scot-free. So I said, no, I can't sit in this.
Yeah.
But also it's very counterproductive. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. And it's just better to just get on with it.
Get on with it. Finish, vent, get upset, then keep it moving.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know what to tell you, because it's such a rich conversation. And I hope that people get from it that you can make it quietly, because you don't shout. And yet this little person with such a towering title, I think you've achieved a lot. So thank you so much for joining us on this conversation.
Thank you, Jen.
And will you be my friend?
Yes.
Yes. I'll be invited for that glass of wine.
Yes. As long as it's good wine, we'll have it.
So we normally do a quick fire round to finish, which is basically, and I don't know if you've read the questions, because I hope you haven't. Yeah, but I'm sure you have, given the level of preparedness. Okay. Quick fire round. Beach holiday, city holiday?
Both. When I need to relax, beach.
Okay.
City, it's curiosity. So I do enjoy city holidays in some places. Yeah.
Favorite place to visit? You can give us both beach and then city.
In Kenya, my all-time favorite is the Maji in Diani.
Okay.
Yes.
I've never been there, but a lot of people say
yeah. To go.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. And then city?
City. I like London.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you like in London?
I don't know. It's a vibe. So there's an interesting feel. I like the personalities of cities. So I like London. I love Paris. Paris has such a flair.
Anyone who knows me knows I love Paris.
Yeah. So I like Dublin. Is also a very interesting, I love the personalities of cities, which is why I hate Dubai, because I think it has no personality, but anyway.
Okay, so it's a bit building.
Yes.
Okay, apples or oranges?
Apples.
Pizza topping of choice?
Chicken.
Oh, really?
Yes.
On its own? Or just chicken?
Chicken with whatever.
Whatever. Chicken. Oh, yes. Chicken, okay, yeah. All right. Favorite drink?
A good glass of red wine.
Which one? What type?
A good Merlot or a blend.
Oh, nice. Mm. Perfect timing for that anyway.
But I also like tea. I love tea. I have I don't know how many varieties of tea.
Okay, yes, yeah, yeah. Like herbals or like...
No.
The
black tea, but yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I love a cup of tea. I also love a glass of wine. So, yeah. We can be friends from now on. But thank you so much, Anne, for joining us on this podcast. This is her first podcast, and you wouldn't be able to tell, but... Wonderful guest, and I really, really wish you all the best for the year going forward. You're a wonderful example for any professional woman who is coming up in her career and wants to make it to the top in an unexplained or unexplainable way, except to you, but you've explained it well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jerry. I've enjoyed this.